Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
If you've spent any time in Arizona, like Pamela and I have, you're used to it. We're used to the jokes. We understand summer. It's hot enough for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at some point, the joke just stops getting funny.
It gets a bit old.
Yeah, it gets bit old. And I want to say Saturday was the first day of fall. Like, by the way.
Of what?
If you kids, you kids, I know a lot of kids listen to this show. We're very, very popular with the kids. You kids who have only lived in Arizona, there's something called seasons in other places. And there's allegedly four of them, okay? We have two seasons here, hot and hotter, okay? Other places have winter. Spring, summer, and fall. It is technically fall now in the rest of the world, but it still feels like we're just in the hotter season in Arizona.
So is this just something that we're feeling, or is there some fact behind it? Joining us right now on the KTAR Newsmaker line is Randy Cervini, and Randy is a climatologist with Arizona State University. Good morning to you, Randy.
Hello.
So you know, it seems like we run everything through our filter. I get that, but I saw recently that if you think it's been hotter than usual or normal, and it's been hotter longer, you'd be right. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, hotter than normal, yes. We've had 122 days so far of 100 plus degrees this year. But
that's
the normal
a lot.
Right
I'm taking
now
it.
Is actually right around 98, 99. So we're not that far above normal. But the trouble is, we don't seem nowadays to be getting below normal at all.
Well, Randy, I want to back up a little bit. So you said that we've had 122 days above 100 degrees. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Make a comparison for me.
How
does that compare to last year or prior years? Is that a lot of days above 100? Is that about on point, or is that below?
Well, it's not the record. If I don't have the facts right in front of me, but it's the record is somewhere around 140, I believe, days above 100 degrees. So we're not probably going to get up to that kind of a range, but we are definitely in the top 10 years now where we've had this many 100 degrees.
Wow. And we still have some more in front of us. I mean, we're at 120 days and counting over 100. It strikes me that, we've talked about this before, Dr. Cervini, and I realize that weather and patterns take decades or maybe centuries to understand. But it certainly, there's a sense that even if it's not hotter as in 130 degrees as opposed to 120 in the middle of summer, that it starts getting hotter earlier and it stays hotter longer.
Yeah, we're definitely having warming temperatures. If you just think back to the number of times that we've had record highs compared to the number of days that we've had record lows, we just simply don't have record lows anymore. So our climate is definitely warming, and that's going to mean more times when we're going to be above certain thresholds like 100 degrees. So we are definitely getting warmer. The other thing that particularly is important this year is the humidity. We haven't had any really big breaks of humidity. And when you have dew points that are up in the 50s and in the 60s like we've had this summer, the temperatures can't drop down. The water kind of holds on to the heat. Usually in the monsoon, we have a few times when it really dries out and we get cool, nice, cool mornings, and that means that we're not going to heat up in the days. But this summer, we just stayed really moist throughout the whole day.
We're talking to Randy Cervini. He's an ASU climatologist, and we're talking about how it just seems to be warmer longer here in Phoenix. And Randy, you know, last week and the week before, we had spent a lot of attention talking about hurricanes, you know, Hurricane Florence bearing down on the East Coast. There was even tornadoes that kind of spun off of that. There were floods and storms, and they attract a lot of attention. Extreme heat doesn't necessarily attract as much of that same kind of attention. But what kind of impact can the extreme heat that we've experienced here in Arizona have on our health and in society?
Well, the biggest problem, of course, is that it's kind of a silent killer because it kills the ones that make, frankly, the least amount of noise. The elderly and the young are the ones that have the hardest trouble handling this kind of heat. That's why it's so incredible that I hear that we managed to go out through the entire summer season here without a car heat-related death in Phoenix. It was something that I think the media and the National Weather Service has to take great credit for. We were really proactive this year and tried to prevent those kind of things from happening.
Yeah, that the message is out that being in a car in the summer is deadly, and people are getting that message after sadly not getting it for decades.
Yeah, at least here. I mean, unfortunately for the country as a whole, heat deaths are above the average right now. That we've had, I think, about some 47 people that have been killed around the country in heat-related car deaths. But luckily here in Arizona, and I think, again, because of the media and because of places like the National Weather Service, we've done a really good job of counteracting that.
ASU climatologist Randy Cervini joining us right now on the KTAR Newsmaker line. All right, Randy, so we've had at least 122 days above 100 degrees. We're going to get a couple more this week, probably into next week. What are you seeing, though, as far as the winter here in Arizona? Is it going to be warm? Is it going to be wet? What are you seeing?
Those are the two words I would use, warm and wet. Surprisingly, we're having another one of these El Nino situations going on this winter where the Pacific Ocean is hotter than normal, and that allows for storms to come through California and into Arizona. So we're predicting for the fall and for the winter a wetter winter, a wetter time period in the fall and in the winter. Unfortunately, we also seem to be seeing that we're not going to be cooling down a whole lot. Maybe because of cloud cover and such, we're going to stay warmer than we normally are. So the two words that you said, warm and wet, probably are going to be best representative of the fall and the winter.
Thank you very much. We sincerely appreciate Randy Cervini, ASU climatologist, that again, and I get back to, we have had 120 days this year over 100 degrees. I have a little bit of perspective. Last year, we had 109. Two years ago, we had 99.
But he also said the record was 140.
Exactly. So we're a little above average, but we're not at the record yet, I guess would be one way to put it. So yes, it is hot. Yes, it is still hot. Yes, it's fall everywhere else. And yes, it still feels summery to us.
Yeah, well, you know what? Keep that in mind as the kids are picking out the Halloween costumes, right?
Oh, those plastic masks? Remember, it was like 100 degrees on Halloween.
There have been years where the week of Halloween, we're still triple digits.
You can't dress like that.
And where I grew up, back east, you know, like, I hated it when my mom would make me put a jacket over my costume. I'm like, well, what's the point? Because it was cold.
Here, we don't have that issue.
No one's
going to get cold around Halloween here anymore. Hey, it was another frustrating, difficult week for the Arizona Cardinals. Some more questions added to the mix as they start off 0-3. We're going to, while the temperature might be hot, no one can argue the Cardinals are.
Ooh,
how will they change that?
Wow.
Hey, Cardinals sideline reporter Paul Calvisi is going to be joining us next to talk a little bit about the Cards and what happened on the field yesterday.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Is it supposed to be Josh Rosen? Every Rosen has its thorn? I don't know where we're going with that.
Well, all right.
Sometimes DJ Tommy tries to slide him past me there. It started off pretty good for the Cardinals yesterday. They were up 14-0 against the visiting Chicago Bears in a stadium. Every time they panned the stadium, I was like, are there anybody wearing red? It looked like a hell of a lot of Bears fans there, to say the least. And it did not end with a Cardinals victory. 0-3, joining us right now is Paul Calvisi, the Cardinals sideline reporter. Boy, a tale of two halves, Paul.
Are you sure I'm here? I'm sort of in denial. I'm not here. This is not happening. The Cardinals did not cough up that 14-0 lead after the first quarter. There's basically been that one quarter and then 11 other quarters in this season. Dave Pasch made that observation on the air as we were wrapping things up yesterday. You know, you had that first quarter and it was glorious, no doubt about it.
I mean, looked like a different team.
Right, absolutely. There's Sam Bradford. He's hanging in the pocket. There's a creative play call to David Johnson, right? I mean, they're aggressive. They got it in sync, the run and the pass. Exactly what they were talking about all season long. And then you got to the second quarter, and time of possession got lopsided, and the defense couldn't get off the field, as Coach Wilkes told us at halftime. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you saw Sam Bradford, after those opening two touchdowns, they went punt, 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 interception, interception, fumble.
Ooh.
And it was that last fumble, guys,
yeah,
where it wasn't necessarily the fumble. I think it was what happened after.
What do you mean?
He didn't get up. He was face
Sam
down
Bradford,
on the turf.
Fast face
he
down, was, lying on the ground.
So there's the turnover, and then there's the body language.
Oh, so that was you're not alleging he was injured in any way,
no,
shape, or form. He
not
was
at all.
Face down on the turf in the agony for fumbling.
The only thing that might have been injured would be his confidence,
yeah,
at that point. And
yeah,
I wonder if that forced Steve Wilks' hand, because I spent the whole game standing about 10 yards behind the head coach, and you couldn't take your eyes off the quarterback. After the fumble, forget the Bears celebrating, all the Bears fans. There's your quarterback face down, and everyone's wondering, is he injured? No, he isn't injured. And then his teammates are trying to help him up, and he comes to the sideline. And it was shortly after that Wilks took off his headset, walked over, sort of tapped him on the shoulder, and then said something in his ear. Moments after that, the quarterback's coach, Byron Leftwich, watched Josh Rosen. He started warming up, and there you go.
I was going to say, and okay, you saw Bradford with a kind of, I would argue, like a shocked look on his face, kind of a blank stare, and Rosen warming up right in front of him.
So we finally got to see Josh Rosen in a game. So your thoughts on his performance, and then, you know, do you think he'll be the starter from now on?
I do believe he'll be the starter, and it's not just for football. You know, Adam Schefter's been reporting there's a financial component to all this, that there is a per-game bonus that Sam Bradford is either on the roster or if he's active, that he gets per game that's over $300,000. So if you extrapolate that over the rest of the season, it's over $4 million the Cardinals would save, both in real money and under the cap. And so for that reason alone, I think there might be a financial decision in the next 24 to 48 hours. Either way, if the future is Josh Rosen, and look, the numbers say since 1980, out of 173 teams that have started 0-3, only 5 have made the playoffs.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah, miracles are possible, and yeah, there were some crazy upsets yesterday, but for all intents and purposes, the Josh Rosen era has started.
Paul Calvisi, again, Cardinals sideline reporter, joining us. You were there on the sideline. I know that you won't betray trust or anything like that, but in a general sense, players gravitate towards leaders. I don't know who specifically leaders are on their team. I think people always defer to Larry Fitzgerald. I don't hear him as a vocal leader, certainly. He's not that kind of a leader.
Totally by example with Larry.
Okay.
Especially during practice.
Quarterbacks usually by default are some sort of leader of the offense.
You've got to be.
Are the players gravitating towards Bradford or Rosen? Is there a sense on the sideline, if you're 0-2, 0-3 after this weekend, this is our guy. We want to play for this guy.
It's a great question, and it might be the question that Steve Wilks is considering right now, because I'll tell you this much, it materialized back when we had our last big quarterback battle some 10 years ago, Kurt Warner and Matt Leinart, and the media sort of made it sound like Matt Leinart was there neck and neck with Kurt Warner. One problem, no one was following Matt Leinart. There was a famous scene where Matt Leinart was eating lunch all by himself.
I remember that.
And Kurt Warner was the
It was a team thing, and Matt was literally sitting at a table by himself eating.
He was the leader of the team, Kurt Warner, unquestioned. They knew who had the ring. They knew who really knew the offense and who could lead them to a Super Bowl, which he did. And so with that in mind, I will say this. There's a lot of buy-in for a rookie quarterback in Josh Rosen, a lot of praise. They know he's got the it factor. They know he has a lot of confidence, and they've seen it on the field. I mean, Chandler Jones told me in the preseason they've had the number one defense out on that field, and Josh Rosen has, quote, shredded us at times when we were really balling.
Okay, so we've talked about leaders. We've talked about buy-in. My question, though, is the players with a new head coach, do they see him as a leader, and are they buying into Coach Wilks right now?
I think they're definitely buying into Coach Wilks. I just, by the way, they respect him, and they respect his authority and everything he's demanded out of them. Now, would a win go a long way? Mike Vrabel, the new Titans head coach, said as much last week. He said, yeah, everything you're doing is validated. Everything you're doing is confirmed when you get a win. Because now there's tangible evidence it pays off, that our way, our process, you know, it does work. And so a win would go a long way more than just getting a number one in the win column. It would go a long way in that locker room, there's no doubt. But I think everyone realizes there's a lot more at play than just the coaching right now. There are things going on. I mean, for example, let's give you, they have two first-round linebackers who can't get on the field.
Right.
There are some personnel issues right now. Ultimately, it's always on the players.
Paul Calvisi, again, Arizona Cardinals sideline reporters. The Cardinals could start 0-3 on the season, a difficult game. Can I ask you a broader football question?
Fire.
I'm a Redskins fan. Let me throw that out there. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah. My Redskins, they won yesterday.
My Redskins won yesterday.
There you go. Ding!
But there was even as a Redskins fan, I do not understand how you're supposed to sack a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. No, I
right.
saw the you're sack right. on the Redskin yep. quarterback, yep. and I was like, how's that a penalty? What are you supposed to do?
It
are
was
the
a players tackle.
Are the player? Do the players even have any idea anymore?
They're beyond frustrated. They're beyond terrified of getting fined. I mean, forget the flag and what it does to the game and how it impacted the Packers.
They care about
the
game checks or being ejected.
Once again, the old FedEx envelope in their locker on a Tuesday with a fine there that they have to pay, so they're very worried about that. Look, we spent the last 5 years or so trying to define what is a catch.
Yeah. Hmm.
The legitimate question is now, what is a tackle?
A legal tackle.
Yeah, and specifically, what is a tackle on a quarterback? Because there appears to be zero tolerance whatsoever. It's almost like, and even after the game, Alex Smith admitted, he hit me in the strike zone.
Right.
The so-called
hit him
below the neck,
the torso,
above the knees, form tackle, head up, see what you hit, hit what you see.
Didn't lead with his head. I looked and I said, I don't understand. What a tackle is.
And it's so, Bertrand Berry tweeted this out, right? Former sack champion for the Cardinals. It's so hard to come by a sack. You work all year for that moment, and then it's just ripped away from you by a judgment call by the official. And he, in his opinion, the official actually had to put out a statement. There was such a clamor about it. And he said, in my opinion, he put his weight, the full extent of his weight on the quarterback.
Oh, jeez. Well,
if you're hitting him head on, straight on.
Yeah. Where's your weight supposed to go?
Yeah.
It's your back foot? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Thank you.
It's going to cost a team a playoff game, and then there's going to be a serious uproar.
Yep.
No argument.
I think
no
you're already seeing it, though, this season.
Paul Calvisi, Cardinals sideline reporter, is the Cards yet to name the starting quarterback for this coming week. But
not yet.
You're leaning in the Rosen column.
I'd be shocked if it's not Josh Rosen.
There you have it.
And by the way, your Redskins are not making the playoffs. My statement earlier was not, it should not be taken as if your Redskins are playoff
bound. I'm not willing to argue that. I don't have any huge sense of confidence after
At least there's no Redskins t-shirt this time around.
Not
That's
this
good.
Time. No, not this time.
Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation just got a little more complicated over the weekend. We'll give you the latest coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
We're paying attention to a couple different stories swirling around Washington. The Rosenstein story appears that there'll be a subsequent meetings coming up that maybe there isn't a final decision today. Is that what you're taking from that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm taking today. That final decision may be made on Thursday. What else is happening Thursday, apparently, Bruce?
Well, allegedly, possibly, maybe the Dr. Ford, the accuser of Brett Kavanaugh, is supposed to testify in front of the Judiciary Committee along with Judge Kavanaugh. Can I just say this right now?
What's that?
I don't know, and I cannot decide if the Trump White House is trying to distract from Kavanaugh with Rosenstein or if they're trying to distract from Rosenstein with Kavanaugh. I honestly don't know if there's something going on at this point.
I think it would be distracting Kavanaugh with Rosenstein because we already know the president doesn't like Rosenstein.
Yeah.
It was rumored that after the midterm elections, he'd be blown out. Maybe Jeff Sessions goes with him. So we already knew that was kind of happening. If you could, pull that off now and distract you from Kavanaugh, then I think that would be the play. But we find out over the weekend that the first accuser, yes, we now have to deem her the first accuser against Brett Kavanaugh, Christine Blasey Ford, has agreed to testify.
This email arrived from her lawyers. Quote, Dr. Ford accepts the committee's request to provide her firsthand knowledge of Brett Kavanaugh's sexual misconduct next week. But Ford's attorneys also complained about the leaks and the bullying that have tainted the process and made it clear negotiations are not finished yet.
Okay, so they're still negotiating. We're not exactly sure what they're negotiating, but will we even get to a hearing on Thursday? I say that, Bruce, because now there is a second accuser that has come forward.
Yes.
And you have Democrats that are saying we need to delay the hearing. We need to delay the confirmation until we get more information.
It remains to be seen how a second Brett Kavanaugh accuser will affect a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing slated for Thursday. Deborah Ramirez came forward in an interview with The New Yorker late Sunday saying Kavanaugh exposed himself when the two were at Yale University. Over the weekend, congressional officials and lawyers for Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who's accused Kavanaugh of sexual assault when they were teens, reached an agreement for her to testify. Kavanaugh denies the allegations. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein has already called for a postponement of his nomination.
Yeah, there was an issue. You and I talked about it last week. Is one accusation 36 years ago, he said, she said, enough to sink a nomination? I think it might be with normal people. I don't think it is with Republican senators. Is a second and or third now? Does it show a pattern?
Okay, I don't know if the second shows a pattern.
Okay.
The second allegations are a bit flimsy. And I only say that, folks, because I don't like to when somebody is claiming sexual misconduct. But they are a little flimsy. When The New Yorker first reached out to Deborah Ramirez to get her side of the story, she could not recollect certain aspects of the story. There were gaps in her memory. She couldn't definitively say it was Kavanaugh. Fast forward 6 days after sitting down with attorneys. Yep, she sure it is. That seems a little suspect to me. But now,
Spidey senses start to tingle on that.
Not with Christine Blasey Ford, but with Deborah Ramirez, okay. Potentially. But now, Bruce.
Okay.
Michael Avenatti, former Stormy Daniels attorney.
And
frankly, I'll be honest with you. I see him as a little bit of like an ambulance chaser.
You took okay. The words out of my mouth. That's where I was going with him.
But I want to give our audience, I'm not going to give you the full story quite yet because it's damaging if it's proven to be true.
Okay.
But Michael Avenatti has come out and has said that he has a third woman. He tweeted this. I represent a woman with credible information regarding Judge Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. Mm-hmm. Mark Judge, you might remember, was the third person apparently in the room with
allegedly.
Christine Blasey Ford. Okay.
Yes.
We will be demanding the opportunity to present testimony to the committee and will likewise be demanding that Judge and others be subpoenaed to testify. This nomination must be withdrawn. So what does he have? Well, he sent an email to the counsel that represents the Judiciary Committee with some, let me just tell you, damaging allegations that if he can prove, if he has substance here, there's no way.
How do you get past that?
Because I'm not even going to tell you what the allegations
they are. They are graphic. They are detailed, and they are disgusting.
Damaging. And until the claim is in fact filed, and this becomes part of the discussion, I'm not going to enter it into the fray. But I've read the allegations of which Michael Avenatti is claiming. And I'll tell you, folks, if they are true, if there's any substance behind it, there is no way Brett Kavanaugh's confirmed.
Well,
if
true, the Avenatti accuser, the one he's representing, would appear to be the worst of the three.
Yeah.
If you were grading them.
Hands down.
Yeah.
So what happens next? It's a bit unclear because you've had the president talking about this today.
He's a fine man with an unblemished past. These are highly unsubstantiated statements from people represented by lawyers. You should look into the lawyers doing the representation. Judge Kavanaugh is an outstanding person, and I am with him all the way. We'll see how it goes with the Senate. We'll see how it goes with the vote.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound like he's willing to listen to the accusers and thinks there's any doubt. Right?
Yeah.
Trump is now speaking the same way the Republican senators and people like Mitch McConnell are saying, we'll have a hearing, but we're voting for Kavanaugh.
Thursday is going to be a big day. Why? Well, because we may have this hearing. We'll see, with a second accuser and a potentially
will it even get to Thursday?
Forward.
You're right. I'll acknowledge that. May not make it to Thursday.
But then you also have news that Rod Rosenstein, Deputy AG, the guy who's in charge of the Mueller investigation, met with the chief of staff today at the White House and will meet with the president on Thursday. Will he be fired then? What does that mean for the Robert Mueller investigation moving forward? A lot of moving parts, and we are on top of all of them for you here at KTIR.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Hey, good luck predicting it. This season of The Apprentice is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Must-see TV. Mountain Point High School faced a social media threat this morning. How credible was that threat? How did they handle it? Or are they just playing CYA? We'll talk about that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
There are a lot of stories that are, I guess we use the term fluid, as in they are changing relatively quickly and maybe by the second. We're not even at the minute, by the way. By the second, these stories are changing. We are following the soap opera of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and his either resignation
or firing
or stern talking to.
Which is going to come to a head on Thursday,
we're told,
when he meets with President Trump.
Face to face.
Which is also coinciding with
as of right now, scheduled hearing for Judge Kavanaugh, in which both he and one of his accusers, Dr. Ford, will testify in front of the Senate.
There's been a second accuser, and Michael Avenatti says he has a third with some pretty damaging allegations of which he plans to bring to the American people here sometime soon. So lot to keep track of,
okay.
And we are all over it for you here at KTAR.
Promise you that.
Another story that we've been keeping our eye on closely this morning is involving Mountain Point High School. This was within the Tempe Unified School District, where they notified families late last night that they were aware of a threat made to the school via social media.
Yeah, that there had been what they deemed some sort of a credible online threat against the school, and that they gave parents the option to keep kids home from school today and not receive punishment.
There are parents and students who are just getting up this morning and they are reading this information here. So a lot of them are worried. What should they do? Should they send their students to school or not? We talked to the Tempe Union High School District. They say school is open, but they have advised their teachers not to penalize those students for not showing up today. They say, but parents, if they are going to stay home, you have to call the absence line to make sure that you excuse your student from there.
Okay, so obviously that decision has already been made by parents and students. But as soon as I read that this morning, and I'm like, okay, well, you know what? They're not going to penalize students if they choose not to show up because
for fear of their own safety.
Of this threat of which the police are investigating. There are additional officers on campus today. But it immediately made me think about the teachers. You know, if there were, in fact, a credible threat made to the school, that threat isn't only to students.
No.
It's also to the adults that are
anybody
on campus
else, right.
as well. So I wonder.
Staff, faculty, et cetera.
I don't have this answer, but it immediately made me think, well, if you're not going to penalize the students for not showing up because they fear for their safety. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you not penalize teachers for not showing up because they fear for their safety?
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. That's what happens when you have
family
teachers
and
education.
You think about this a little differently.
What about them? I went a different way with this.
What's that?
And I go down the call it the CYA, the cover your you know what, or the boy that cried wolf. If there is a credible threat to the school, why'd you open it at all? If there's not a credible threat to the school, why are you telling people?
Well, at this point in time,
what does it serve?
I think this is what it serves. This is an ongoing investigation. Nobody has been arrested. I thought this was interesting that a note was also posted at the school website as well as the Tempe Union High School District website. It's noted in here that it is not. The note said the threat didn't seem to be related to a similar threat made last week. So they had a threat made last week. There were, I think, people who were arrested for that threat.
But
nobody has been arrested at this time. They can't determine if this is a credible threat. That is what is being said on their website right now.
Here's where I go with this. So I'm gonna make this a more macro thing. If you were aware of the credible threats made to airlines, public places, if they posted every threat that they got, you would never leave the house.
I don't agree with that. I don't know. I think the important word there is credible. And
if it's credible, shut the school down.
Well, okay. So let me just read to you what is up right now at the TempeUnion.org. This is for their school. It says, this is a follow-up to last night's message about the threat to our school that was posted via social media. Here's what we know. A threat and a photo of a gun was posted to an anonymous social media account late last night. At this time, we're not able to determine if this is a credible threat. Phoenix police continue to investigate. However, no arrests have been made, and we have been told that the investigation may take some time. We're also hearing reports, though, that the there weren't a lot of kids that showed up today. And that doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't send my kid.
Yeah, well, if they thought it was real, then you do something. If it's not real, don't publicize it. I just think you get to boy the cried wolf, and you're gonna desensitize people to this stuff at some point. The Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, apparently his days aren't numbered. Apparently they're lettered. He might be in the W's, quite honestly, at this point. What happens if and when he leaves? And what do we know about his meeting in the White House today? We'll give you the latest on that. And it's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.